Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. It is the 29th of March, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. If it's not going well, look at it this way. Tomorrow's Friday, so that will be a good day, I'm sure. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we simulcast the program on KAPR, AM 930 out of Douglas, which serves all of Cochise County. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And you can hear our program really on any one of three venues, anytime, anywhere in the world. buckmastershow.com, that's my website, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com all carry our program. Usually we have that posted for you by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We are live, though, Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll launch today's show with a discussion of what the decade-long drought is doing to our Sonoran Desert. 20 minutes past the hour, certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers will answer your last-minute tax tip questions. 30 minutes past the hour, young women are breaking into a career traditionally dominated by men. We'll tell you all about that. And we'll close out the show talking about what proposed cutbacks in the nation's space program could mean for the Southern Arizona economy. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, or you can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, a new study finds that if the drought continues here in Southern Arizona, the Sonoran Desert will certainly be impacted. Among those participating in a new study, and actually the lead on that study was the United States Geological Survey. Joining me in studio is Robert Webb. Robert is a USGS hydrologist. He's been based here in Tucson for about 30 years. He's also the owner of one of the largest outlets for succulents in the United States. The name of his business is Arid Lands Greenhouses, and they're over on West Bilby Road in Tucson, and they get requests for succulents, Robert, probably from all over the world, huh?
Well, that's correct, yes.
Well, perhaps we'll talk about succulents at another time, but we do want to talk about this study. What was the purpose of the study, Robert?
What we're trying to do is develop new tools for estimating the effects of climate change on desert vegetation throughout the North American deserts. The first trial studies, though, were in the Sonoran Desert here, where we're trying to estimate what the most common species might do in terms of climate change.
How is climate change impacting the Sonoran Desert?
Well, to date, up until this point in time, we're seeing a number of fairly important changes. Coming out of the 20th century, we had the late 20th century wet period, which really generated a lot of biomass in the Sonoran Desert, increased a lot of our trees, and caused a lot of germination and establishment. Starting right around 1995, we've been essentially in drought, and that's caused some dieback of things, primarily Palo Verde trees and some subshrubs. But in addition to that, we've been seeing decreased winter temperatures. The freeze last February was actually quite unusual. That was the largest freeze since 1978. But those types of freezes around the turn of the 19th to 20th century used to be very frequent.
Yeah, that was, of course, the big freeze where the temperatures in many parts of the Tucson Valley went actually below 20 degrees. And I remember at 12 noon that one day, Robert, the temperature, I think, at the airport was 24 degrees.
That's right. And that kind of those kind of temperatures will definitely kill a lot of plants, even mesquite trees. So it was very significant.
How about Palo Verdes and mesquites? You mentioned mesquites. Palo Verdes and mesquites not doing that well because of the drought, which as you say, probably started mid-1990s. The pre-drought, we had some wet years there in the early 1990s.
That's correct. And, starting really at the depth of the drought, which really was 2008, 2002. There was another big dry period in 2007, and then again in 2011. But around 2002, we started seeing die-off of a lot of mature Palo Verde and mesquite trees. And so if you think of it, it's in some ways a death by natural causes. Drought is a major culling mechanism for old plants. And that's what happened right around the start of the 21st century.
Robert Webb is with us. He is with the USGS. He's a hydrologist there, and he has been around the Sonoran Desert for a long time. And I just many of our listeners, Robert, may have seen the front page piece in the Arizona Daily Star, the headline, "Our Enduring Desert May Be Coming Apart at the Seams." Was that a little bit strong?
Oh, that was way strong, I think. I think that one of the perception problems that people get is that the desert actually changes all the time. And I think people are afraid of change. And that's, I think, what inspired that headline more than anything else.
Let's talk about the icon of the Sonoran Desert, the saguaro. We were talking about the big freeze that we had last year, and that could play, I guess, a role long-term in the health of the saguaro. But what are you seeing overall in the saguaro population here in the Tucson Valley and at around the elevation of, say, 2,000 to 3,000 feet, which is basically where saguaros, I think, are most comfortable? Isn't that safe to say?
Yeah. What we've been doing is working on permanent plots at the Desert Laboratory just west of downtown. And our results are not fully in yet. We don't know if the populations are increasing, decreasing, or remaining stable, but we do know there's been a big recruitment event in the last 18 years with a lot of new plants in there. So from the looks of things, the populations are actually quite healthy. The 2011 drought caused a little bit of damage to saguaros, but we haven't seen any saguaros yet that have been killed at the Desert Laboratory.
Well, I find that curious, Robert Webb, that you say that in the last 18 years there is this growth period where we're seeing some young saguaros coming in. And on the surface of things, it wouldn't make sense because that period, with this drought period that we've had over the last 10 to 15 years,
well,
why would saguaros be doing fairly well?
We now know, and have known actually for some time, but that saguaros recruit in very extreme periods. And most of us are unaware of the fact that from about 1991 through 1995, we had an extremely wet series of years. That's probably where most of these plants came from, was that period just prior to the onset of our current drought.
The dry weather, though, really has changed the landscape of – or there's a big potential there for changing the landscape, right, of the Sonoran Desert. And you've done some work at the Grand Canyon that is fairly interesting about the way climate change actually over the last 100 years has changed the face.
As I sit here today and what I know about what's predicted for climate change, I would expect we'd be seeing fewer trees in the Sonoran Desert in the future, but more cacti because we have warmer winters, which cactus really don't like freezes. But we also have drier winters, and that's what's really the problem for these trees, is too much drought means that we're going to be losing the larger trees.
I have to get a succulent question in because I did promote the fact that you do own this really the largest succulent – well, you're one of the largest, I guess, in the United States, shipping really all over the world. What is a succulent and how does it differ from a cacti?
Well, cactus are in the Cactaceae, a specific family of plants, whereas succulents pretty much occur in around 12 other families of plants. So, you know, cactus are defined by their flowers, where succulents are just defined by the fact that they have water storage facilities within their stems and their leaves that allow them to store water and fend off droughts.
And how are they doing? And how do succulents do? And are we losing succulents all the time?
Well, we have a problem with succulents in Mexico, for example. The succulent plant proportion of the Sonoran Desert really becomes highest in Mexico. I've worked a lot in Baja California, for example, and down there you have what is thought to be the highest biodiversity of succulent plants and cacti in North America. And you're seeing die-off again because of drought. But succulents are able to buffer things because of their water storage capability. Palo Verdes and mesquites can't do that so much. So, again, there's mechanisms for withstanding drought that we're just trying to understand right now in terms of predicting long-term change.
Talking with Robert Webb of the United States Geological Survey. He's a hydrologist there, and the USGS was the lead in this study that we have been discussing, the study published in Global Change Biology Journal. Did you say this is the first of a study that they're going to be looking at different ecosystems around the around North America?
That's correct. We started off in the Sonoran Desert, in part because of the Desert Laboratory here in Tucson. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, the permanent plots at the Desert Laboratory are the oldest ones on planet Earth. So it's the oldest amount of data, the most long-term data that we've got to work with. Subsequently, there's been work done in the Chihuahuan Desert, and we're currently working in the Mojave Desert, trying to do the same sort of analyses up there.
That laboratory really is fascinating. Is that open can the public ever get a look at what's going on up there?
There was just an open house in January, February associated with the Arizona Centennial focused at the Desert Laboratory. And yes, there's a number of interpretive exhibits still up there. Walkers access the hill before 7:30 a.m. in the morning and after 5 p.m., and there's a lot of people that go up and down that hill.
It's a fascinating place, and I strongly recommend that our listeners check it out, because that desert laboratory has ongoing research that's been, I guess, going back to, was it about 1900?
1906 is when the permanent plots were established. The lab itself was built in 1903.
So you can really get some kind of a feel, at least for the last 100 years, more than 100 years, the way our desert has looked, at least around that particular station.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's a National Historic Landmark. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a Tucson treasure.
So to sum up, our Sonoran Desert, not really coming apart at the seams, just it's changing, right?
You know, deserts change all the time. And the funny thing about it is the pace of change, though, generally is fairly slow, imperceptible at human lifetimes. What we could be looking at in the future is a faster pace of change. And I think that's what is concerning people right now, is the pickup of pace of change.
But we may not be seeing as many Palo Verdes and mesquite trees and perhaps grass cover. We haven't mentioned grass either.
Right. Grass cover has been changing in some of these deserts as well. And again, there's mostly a climate change signal on that as well. So we're trying to identify that too.
Robert Webb, thank you very much from the USGS. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And I do want to mention that there is speaking of climate change, Tucson's Office of Conservation and Sustainable Development, in collaboration with the University of Arizona, is interested in engaging the community on the results of a recently completed report on the climate impacts confronting the city of Tucson. If you're interested in this public summit, Saturday, March 31st, 3 in the afternoon to 7:15 at the Tucson Convention Center. Stay with us. If you've got any tax questions, call us at 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Michael C. Flower, certified public accountant, coming up next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 1222. Have you been procrastinating about your taxes? The deadline is fast approaching. Michael C. Flower, certified public accountant, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Michael, good to see you.
Great to see you, Bill.
We are so delighted to have the support of the Michael C. Flowers and Flowers, Rieger & Associates. That's the firm we talk up every day here on the show. Whenever someone says, I need a CPA, and who doesn't this time of year, I recommend your team over there. You guys do a fantastic job at 2919 East Broadway. Lots of people respect the work you do, Michael.
I really appreciate it, Bill, and thank you for being a client, and more than happy to try to help out some of your listeners.
I was surprised. Actually, I was kind of doing a little research about last-minute tax tips. Up to one in four taxpayers, and this is not a surprise to you, Michael C. Flowers, but it is to me, they wait to the last 2 weeks.
We're noticing that in our office because we have somebody in our office calling a number of our clients to at least get the information to us. And in many cases, it's to prepare the required extension. It's really important that you file an extension if for some reason you can't meet the deadline.
Is it a problem doing an extension?
It's fairly straightforward, and what you need to do is try to estimate what your tax liability is. A lot of our clients receive K-1s from partnerships or other deals they're involved in, so we always can't be accurate, but you try to take your best guess. Let's say you think you're going to owe $15,000 in tax, and you go to your withholdings, and you also look and see if you've sent any estimates during the year. And if you've only sent $10,000 in that combination, then by April 16th, you should send the extra $5,000 with the extension request form. If you do not file the extension, the IRS charges you a late filing penalty, which is 5% per month.
So you really need to make sure it's taken care of by that deadline. And this year, of course, the deadline is not the traditional April 15th because the 15th falls on a weekend. But you need to take care of this the week before.
5% per month is all I can tell you. And many people, some people say they don't have the money to file and they prepare the return. They put it in a drawer but if you file the return and you owe money, you will not have the failure to file penalty. There's also a failure to pay penalty, which is 0.5% per month. So you can sort of see the difference. The IRS just wants to make sure you're paying attention and that you keep them in mind, and it's not that big a deal to file an extension. If any of your listeners need any help, I'd be more than happy over the phone to give them a hand.
Yeah, you're really good with that. Someone wants to call Flowers and Rieger and Associates, you are available. You take phone calls.
Yeah, just ask for me, Mike Flowers. I mean, we're busy, but again, as a courtesy to you and your listeners, I'd rather see people get it right than naively do it wrong or cost themselves a significant amount of money.
And we can grab a quick tax question or two if anyone would like to call in right now, 790-2040, 790-2040, with the man himself, CPA Michael C. Flowers. We talk about him every day here on the program. And now he's with us in studio. What are some of the common things, the mistakes that people make, Michael C.?
I'd say they don't hire a CPA, but I don't know if that's the right answer. But
to be a CPA, you have to go to school and you have to do certain things.
It's sort of like being a lawyer that you have to have a college education. In Arizona, it's a master's degree. You have to have at least 2 years' experience, and you have to pass a fairly rigorous CPA exam.
And you don't dress up in a costume, and seen you out on a corner doing one of those crazy with those signs. But anyway.
Yeah, most of those people aren't CPAs, and if they are CPAs, I sort of pity what happened to their career.
And make sure you sign your return and sufficient postage.
Sign your return, sufficient postage. Many people claim the wrong status. If you're married at the end of December 31st of any year, that's how you determine your status. So if you were married and got divorced on December 30th, you wind up filing your 2011 tax return as a single person. Correspondingly, if you were single all year and you got married December 31st, you wind up filing joint tax return on December 31st. And there's something called head of household that many people, if they're doing it themselves, may not be familiar, but it is a tax break, and it has to do with the situation where you have a child at home and you do certain things that would make you eligible for the head of household status.
What are red flags that the IRS looks for?
I would think anything where there's excessive deductions, or the ones that we don't see in our office as much, but sometimes they come to our office. Geez, I've lost money for the last 3 years in my business. I've lost $50,000 or $100,000 a year consistently, and there's really no source of borrowings or no source of where those funds came from. The IRS wants to know how those people are living, because many people can claim a loss, especially in a cash business, where they say they've lost money, but the IRS is not that naive where they necessarily believe the tax returns. And if somebody has a very nice lifestyle or just an ordinary lifestyle, you still have to pay your bills, you still have to pay rent, groceries, how'd you have the money? And if you don't have a source to show, well, I used my pension money, I borrowed from my parents or something like that, then it may be quite obvious to the IRS that you have unreported income.
Can you represent a client before the IRS?
Yes, we have what's known as a power of attorney, and in 100% of the cases, we tell our clients, do not go down to the IRS.
Don't go down.
Do not talk to the IRS. Do not pass go. Do not do any of that, because the main thing is to have somebody on your side when you're dealing with the IRS. We have the client sign the power of attorney. In most cases, we have their documentation, and then we present it in its most favorable light as it relates to the IRS. We also know sort of their trick questions in terms of, you know, do you use the car 100%? Do you ever take it on vacation? Do you ever drive your wife here or there? And we sort of know where they're going, and we've already considered that when we've done the tax return. But if you have prepared your own tax return and you get an audit, notice, it would be very appropriate to try to have a CPA help you out with that audit notice and to deal with the IRS directly.
Yeah, so if you're – for your clients anyway, if they get that dreaded letter, just give your firm a call, right?
Right. They pretty much know them. And percentage-wise, somebody who has their return prepared by a CPA has a much lower chance of being audited due to the mechanical process of making sure the return is signed, making sure the Social Security numbers are correct, make sure two spouses that are divorced don't claim the same child. And we see all sorts of stuff with clients that haven't had their returns prepared by a CPA.
Michael C. Flowers, great to see you, and you're surviving the tax season. Thank you so much.
Bill, thank you, and thank you for a great job you're doing in the community.
Thank you so much. Michael C. Flowers there at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger, that's RIEGER.com. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Bill.
Stay with us. We're going to be talking about women breaking into a field that's traditionally held by men, auto mechanics. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials in Colorado say some residents who should have received automated phone calls telling them to evacuate ahead of a wildfire never got the calls. A Republican budget plan appears certain to pass the GOP-controlled House today. That's the Paul Ryan budget plan. But it faces a roadblock in the Democrat-controlled Senate, which plans to ignore it. The Senate hasn't passed its own budget in several years. Syrian gunmen have kidnapped a high-ranking military pilot outside the capital and assassinated two army colonels in the country's business hub earlier today. Wall Street heading into the final half hour of trading. The Dow is down about 13 points, the NASDAQ off 12, the S&P 500 index trading 5 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more. Check out their website, SplendidoTucson.com. Well, women in our community continue to break barriers. More and more women, especially young women, are venturing into a career that has been dominated by men. That's the field of auto mechanics. Joining me in studio here on the Buckmaster Show is Alexis Lerwill.
Yes.
Who graduated from Mountain View High School in 2010. She was awarded a scholarship through the Jim Click Automotive Team Scholarship Program. Also with us is Daryl Keppel, who runs this program for the Jim Click Automotive Team. Daryl and Alexis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Well, the obvious question right off the bat, Alexis, what got you, why are you interested in auto mechanics? I mean, how did you become interested in autos?
Well,
trucks, cars, whatever.
Back in my junior year when I was scheduling for classes, I thought since I'm getting a car soon, I should probably know how to change oil, keep up on maintenance, stuff like that, changing a tire if one blows out on me while I'm driving. And so I started from there, and I just loved the class. I loved everything about it. I excelled in it, and my teacher was fortunate enough to grant me worthy of going into the advanced class next year, my senior year, in which case I got awarded the scholarship.
Were there many women in the class?
Young women? There was about two or three, including mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. There wasn't
but,
that many.
But is there something that younger women feel they just that this is a barrier for them, that they just can't – they don't even try to get into it because guys have pretty much dominate the field?
Nowadays, I think it's the opposite. I think, oh, guys can do it. Oh, well, I'm going to do it because I know how. I'm going to try at least. It's probably the opposite way of nowadays.
Daryl Keppel from the Jim Click Automotive Team. Tell me about this scholarship and how long has it been going on and what are your goals with it?
Well, you know, Mr. Click's vision several years ago was to offer high school graduates a college education sponsored by our company. We applied this to one of the most important elements of our business, the need to constantly build our team of qualified, certified technicians to ensure we are able to take great care of our customers. We have assessed anywhere from 30 to 40 applications every year since May of 2006 and have selected approximately 12 to 15 of these best applicants who are interested in pursuing a career in the automotive as an automotive technician every year since.
Well, Daryl, you know, in the old days when I was in school, it was very common in most high schools had shop and there were auto mechanics courses available. It's not that common anymore, is it, in the high schools, or am I missing something?
Well, in a lot of communities, that is very correct. But fortunately here in Tucson, we have a lot of business representatives that have put their arms around the importance of this education curriculum. And so in the greater Tucson area, we currently have about 14 different automotive education programs that are thriving.
How are the women doing, like Alexis?
I'll tell you, they're doing fantastic. And we would love to clone Alexis every day.
What do you like about working with vehicles, Alexis?
Well, ever since I was little, I noticed that I liked to work with my hands. I like to get dirty. I'm not afraid to be able to wash something off my hands, I guess. I just wake up every morning. I go to work. I love it. I have the time of my life with also not just doing what I do, but also the people that are also there. And I never really question why, I suppose.
Tell me about the mechanics of being an auto. Well, you've got to know about computers, obviously. Everything's computer-oriented now, isn't it?
Yes, it is very much.
So tell me about diagnostics.
Here in the quick lane, we do just light diagnostics. We don't get into the heavy vehicles where we go in and look in to see how much engine has compression on this cylinder compared to another cylinder. But that is later on in life.
That will be later for you.
Yes.
Yes, but right now you're in the quick lane. What is that? Just
the regular maintenance, like the oil change, tire rotation, also serpentine belt here and there, brakes even.
What about scholarships, getting back to this this program, Daryl? Is there an opportunity for how does one go about applying for this scholarship program?
Well, this program is out there available to seniors in high school. We certainly would expect that most applicants that are interested in this are taking the automotive curriculum programs. And the offer is there for them to compete for approximately 10 to 15 selections each year. And we're looking to assess them and identify the best of the best applicants. And should they be selected, what they receive immediately is an entry-level career position with our organization. We also provide them with a $5,000 starter set of tools.
Wow. So they have their own tools, huh?
Indeed. Now, they're initially on loan, and in the first 2 years of their career direction, we challenge them at Pima College. They work full-time during the day, go to college part-time at night. And in the first 2 years, their objective is to achieve the automotive certificate level at the program. In so doing, they have earned those tools, and we proudly award them to them and announce now they need to upgrade their major declaration to a complete associate's degree in automotive technology and applied science. And we work with the best of all ingredients, work by day, on-the-job training, education at Pima College. And ideally, our goal is for them to ideally pursue either a master technician status and or other important positions in our company, including management.
Is it a field that is that pays pretty well for mechanics?
You know, I present to a lot of high school classrooms the opportunities that exist out there. And I always let them know that I ask them, tell me what six figures means to you.
Wow. So, you can do six figures as an auto mechanic.
Master technicians today that are the best in their field certainly can earn $75,000 to $100,000 a year.
Is there a shortage of mechanics?
There unfortunately is a shortage in automotive technicians, and so that's one of the best features of this Jim Click Automotive Team Scholarship Program is we are controlling our future and our own destiny.
Alexis Lerwill is with us. She's graduated from Mountain View High in 2010. She is an award winner for the scholarship program offered through the Jim Click Automotive Team, their scholarship program. And Daryl Keppel is with us from Jim Click Automotive Team. So, Alexis, you've got quite a future to look forward to, especially if you're getting up there into the big bucks.
Yes.
What about when you tell your friends the field you're in, what is their reaction?
The reaction is, of course, their jaw drops and their eyes pop open out of their head. And they're like, really? Like, they don't believe me. I'm just like, yeah, I am. And they're like, oh, well, that's so cool. Like, what do you do? What do you do? And I'm just like, oh, I do this and that. And they're like, that is so cool. And that's initially their reaction to it.
And you did – I guess you made some very good grades, right, in your auto mechanics class?
Yes, I did. I've finished both my classes with all A's. I'm a really great student. My mom, who is listening, also loves that about me.
Well, she must be very proud, and you're doing a great job. Alexis Lerwill, congratulations on your career.
Thank you.
And again, for folks who are interested in the Jim Click Scholarship Program, Daryl, they should do what?
Simply log on to www.pima.edu, and in the search box at the top, type in Jim Click Scholarship. It'll open up a link, and there's six pages attached to that link that have all the information you need. And should you need anything else, just simply give us a call.
Thank you very much, Daryl and Alexis. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us from the field, the challenging field of auto technicians to space. Mark Sykes is with us next from the Planetary Science Institute on a jam-packed Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com and on Facebook.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. No one can say that we don't have a very diversified program, at least today. And, you know, usually we do. We have to change lots of topics. Started with the Sonoran Desert and the drought. Then we talked about tax tips. Then we talked about auto mechanics, women breaking into a field traditionally held by men. And now we're going to look into outer space with Mark Sykes. Mark, good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Bill.
Dr. Mark Sykes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. We look forward to having him on our program at least once a month. He is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which, as the Buckmaster Show listeners know, is celebrating its 40th year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. On Monday's show here on Buckmaster, we had the two co-founders of PSI, and now we have the man who is the CEO. And you got in late last night. You were back in D.C., talking space, weren't you?
Well, I was talking budget and space.
Budget and space. And we should point out that you chair NASA's Small Bodies We're not talking about people's small bodies.
Right. They still don't get no respect.
Small Bodies Assessment Group, and you serve on the Planetary Science Subcommittee of the NASA Advisory Council. And, of course, the big news is the fact that the proposed budget by President Obama really would impact space research, wouldn't it?
Yeah, over the next 5 years, it basically ends Mars exploration and we no longer do any large missions, what we call flagship missions like Voyager, Cassini, Galileo, and even our workhorse mission, Discovery, which is like the Dawn mission, which I'm on right now. It's orbiting Vesta. That's 1 in 5 years, except for instead of every 24 months. And actually, originally it was about once a year in terms of the mission flights. And so it scales us back enormously, takes us out of the running as the preeminent country that does solar system exploration.
What kind of cuts percentage wise are we talking about to the budget?
It's about a 20% cut in 13, and continues to go down after that. So in the next year, but I think that we have a lot of friends in Congress on both sides of the aisle who see this as a valuable to this country and. And so I think that we can look forward to some level of restoration.
What was the reception that you received in D.C. this time?
Oh, it's always positive.
Not a problem. We're going to get you the money, Mark.
It's not a highly controversial. They don't hand you dollars in a bag or anything. But because it is something that's kind of the cutting edge of American technology and science and exploration and innovation. And plus it's a lot of fun to talk about. The reception is usually quite positive, and their actions have been positive in the past as well.
ASU and the U of A both get lots of money from and Planetary Science Institute, your mm-hmm. organization. I've got an article in front of me. I think this is from the Arizona Republic. Your organization, it says, receives $2.5 million a year in funding for Mars projects, or about 35% of your budget.
That's a guess, but it's probably not too far off.
But 30 of the Institute's 100 people work on Mars research. So mm-hmm. there's a big impact.
Oh yeah,
for your organization.
Mars is a major destination because not only do we know an awful lot about it and have been bringing back enormous volumes of information, particularly from the U of A's high-rise camera on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter that allows us to compare Mars and the Earth at the same level using the same kind of physics and thereby better understanding how both worlds work. And also Mars is a future, the ultimate human target. It's the most Earth-like planet in the solar system, and people contemplate possibly settling there in the future, and therefore that makes it a very special place for us to understand as much about it as possible.
But the real estate on Mars, if you're looking to buy real estate on Mars, it keeps getting pushed back before we'll have a chance to get up there and survey the scene with human beings. I mean, if these budget cuts keep coming down, who knows how long it's going to be before we get to the red planet.
Not as close as it was in the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed very close then. Yeah. The big news today, Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute, if folks are just joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Mark is the CEO at Planetary Science Institute. The big news, Governor Jan Brewer has taken out the veto stamp to the electronic billboards legislation. This would have allowed illuminated electronic billboards with changing messages along state highways. And that is not compatible to astronomy.
No, pumping light into the sky is not the best for our observatories. And Arizona is one of the world capitals of astronomy and solar system exploration. And it just puzzles me why the Arizona legislature at times seemed to be kind of hostile to this industry, which brings in hundreds of millions of dollars to the state. And
it's more than that, actually, Mark. According to the governor, said that the industry's invested $1.2 billion in Arizona and employs now 3,300 workers. Mm-hmm. The estimated economic impact alone is $250 million each year.
Yeah, that's so what this I meant.
This is a huge industry and plus, you are associated with.
And plus, it's an industry that provides high-paying jobs for highly educated people. It is a magnet for other industries coming into Arizona, and it was kind of odd being back in Washington, D.C., trying to bring in more business into the state while I'm seeing this stuff going on that would kind of undermine that. So a big thanks to Governor Brewer for vetoing that legislation, and hopefully if it comes back
it might from the news reports
having some healthy exclusion zones for deploying that stuff away from some of the last dark skies in the continental United States, which is why Arizona is such a major center for observing. It's a special place, and frankly, it's something that we should sell as part of a great place to move and grow and bring business. And because we do offer these unique advantages that you can't find other places.
And I think the city of Tucson has kind of a dark skies ordinance, and mm-hmm. the Pima County does as well. But the fear was that if this became law with this electronic billboards, that you could have them on the interstates and there'd be some kind of a jurisdiction issue that would really open the door.
Yeah, they'd pile up all over the place and you get nice lines up in the sky that would interfere with your ability to interpret faint astronomical objects in the distance or even within our solar system.
But we really do have to protect our space and astronomy community because, as we were pointing out with those figures, the numbers just continue to grow. It's a huge economic driver.
Yeah, and it's important to have a good – I mean, this is an important part of a mix of industries that keep our state going, whether it's astronomy, aerospace, development in terms of homes, other businesses. It's an important part of the mix.
Mark Sykes is with us, Dr. Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute, and we want to do a little promotion for your upcoming event. This is a big deal, your 40th anniversary. The public is invited to the April 26th event, correct?
Yes, they can go to our website, www.psi.edu, and purchase tickets for our annual dinner where we'll be featuring the history of the past 40 years.
Yep.
PSI has been kind of at the forefront from the beginnings of solar system exploration. Our founders that you were interviewing earlier were involved with like Mariner and some of the very early missions. In fact, people may have heard about Mare Orientale on the moon, one of the major impact basins. Well, it was discovered by Bill Hartman.
Yes, who was our guest, one of the co-founders who was with us on Monday.
Yeah, and Bill and Don came up with the origin of the modern theory for the origin of the moon. So it's really going to be a fun retrospective, and of course we have more to look forward to.
And I will be sitting down with Bill and Don, the two co-founders, as I guess I will be kind of the after dinner part of the after.
No, you're the main. You're the main.
Am I?
Or
I thought it was kind of the after dinner cocktails post dinner.
You
with
have
Bill
to give
Buckmaster.
People something to look forward to. When you have a big event, you're it, Bill.
Okay, so we do encourage the public to come to this event and go to the website, mm-hmm. psi.org.
No, it's www.psi.edu.
Oh, .edu for education.
Right. Well, that happened kind of in the old, at the beginning of all this stuff. So,
And once a month we have kind of we carve out a couple of minutes on the Mark Sykes segments to talk about, is there life out there? And a new report that was published in The Telegraph from England, New Life in Space Hope After Billions, Mark.
Billions.
Billions of habitable planets found in the Milky Way. We may have some friends out there.
Well, yeah, let's hope so. I think that it's quite likely that we do. I mean, we have been discovering there's more planets in the galaxy than there are stars. There's many of these that are inhabitable zones where life could arise, and that's life as we know it. You know,
yeah,
life,
I mean, it could be involved different with forms
liquid water. You know,
life,
if
right?
There,
yeah.
It could be liquid water, and therefore it'd be amenable to the kind of life that we have.
Yeah.
And so I'd say that the odds on our finding life elsewhere, intelligent life, is just going up very quickly as we're finding potential places to target observations to look for the signs of intelligent life. Even within our own solar system, there's more and more places where we're finding locations where there may be current life. There's areas where there is liquid water flowing on Mars today seasonally. And there's evidence for methane so there might be cows on Mars. And then there's red
cows.
Enceladus and Saturn shooting out water that has organic stuff in it. There's a Ceres where the Dawn spacecraft will be going to after we leave Vesta this summer. That'll be our next target arriving in 2015. We think there might be a subsurface ocean there. In fact, those kinds of subsurface oceans on these dwarf planets might be incubators of life throughout the universe.
So, Mark Sykes, good to see you, and we'll look forward to the event April 26th. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we talk about Honor Flight. This is a great organization. They help World War II vets provide free transportation back to the Washington, D.C. World War II Memorial. That'd be one of our topics, plus the Reporters Roundtable. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Ten 30 KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.